So a couple years back, my buddies and I tried to stay in the park after closing time. Our plan was to just take pictures, nothing sinister or anything like that. We just wanted to be able to say we did it, you know? Basically, we snuck from bathroom to bathroom, corner to corner, and managed to stay there until they closed the gates and the maintenance team got to work. We were really surprised we hadn't gotten caught. It was almost strange considering how much talking up Disney security gets. Our hearts were beating like crazy, and we sat there for a while, hiding behind the tombstone by the Haunted Mansion. We noticed that it's true. The Disney staff had signed their names on every single one. So finally, we got the courage to roam about, still being careful as to not be seen. It was really eerie. The occasional guard or maintenance worker would walk by, and we would just duck or hide behind a corner. It worked for about a half hour. Of course, we couldn't keep this up for long. And yeah, they caught us. I mean, give us props for even attempting and succeeding. But that's not where the story ends. So the first thing we said when they caught us was, "Are you going to take us down to the dungeon?" And we laughed. The security guard chuckled too, so the mood wasn't too dreary. He told us we weren't the first people to try and sneak in after hours, but he wanted to know how we did it. We explained the situation and he actually laughed and said that wasn't a bad plan. He told us he had to take us to the Disney jail to be further interrogated, which we thought was odd. But we figured from the beginning that if we had gotten caught, they'd take us down there. It might have been our plan all along. Maybe we just wanted to see the Disney catacombs more than we wanted to be in the park after hours. So he called for more workers to come and help him escort us, and we went on our way towards Toontown. Then they took us down in this elevator, right into hell. The first thing we noticed was how expensive looking the elevator was. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's hard to explain. It was like a stainless steel interior with mirrors all around, and the floor was this tacky red carpeting. But it looked expensive. There were only two buttons in this elevator, not counting the emergency buttons. One said up, and the other said down. I forgot to mention they never handcuffed us or zip-tied our hands. They just kind of walked beside us, expecting we'd follow. Not that we would have tried to make a run for it. I mean, these people seemed decent. Like, how were we supposed to know what was going to happen? The elevator stopped and we started walking down this perfectly shining, bleach-smelling corridor. We walked for what seemed like an eternity and no one was talking any longer. It was my friends, the security guard and I, and two other maintenance workers. Finally, we reached a heavy metal door that had a security code and card reader. One worker put his card in, the other typed a code on the keypad. I watched the code he typed in. 121566. I only remember it because I found out later what its significance was. And it makes me laugh looking back. Strange. It's strange that I could laugh looking back. They led my friends and I into another corridor. This one had doors down the hallway walls. Each door had a little plexiglass square, a 10x10-inch window at the top right corner. Looks sort of like a psych ward, to be honest. Not so much like a jail. He led us to room 1901, and inside was a single desk with three chairs for me and each of my friends. Then they left us in there alone, closing the door on the way out. We sat in the chairs like obedient little children, and waited for them to return. But they never did. 2 hours went by, and no one came back for us. My buddy Tim went to the door, and surprisingly, it was unlocked. He didn't open it, though. He was worried there'd be a guard on the outside and that they'd think we were escaping. And we weren't looking for any more trouble. So about 25 minutes went by, when we got restless, and finally decided to leave the room. The hallway was empty like before. No signs of people, nothing. We started calling out. No one answered our calls. We noticed surveillance cameras were placed above every door, and we got to wondering if there was any living soul in this place at all. We should have left right then and there, but then again, whoever really does the right thing in these kind of situations? Every door looked the same, and each one had a specific number above it. They weren't in order, like, say, rooms 1 through 10. They were scattered numbers. For example, our room had been 1901, but the door next to it was 1205. We walked up that hallway and had no idea where we were going. My other buddy, Guy, decided we should just leave. He said that if they really wanted us here, they'd have come back. Maybe they just wanted to trick us into thinking we were being arrested and were waiting outside for us to laugh. I felt weary of the whole situation, and Tim was just quiet the whole time, nodding his head here and there. He was more interested in looking into the door's little 10x10-inch windows. That wasn't a good idea. The cameras above the doors were capable of motion detection, and followed us as we wandered down the desolate corridor. We reached the end of the hallway. Unfortunately, the door had another PIN code reader. I tried the PIN from before, the one I saw the security guard type in, but it was invalid. At that moment, the lights in the hallway shut off, and we heard the doors. I can still hear them to this day. They made a subtle creak, and then a boom, as they slammed into the wall beside them with force. As I said, after I entered the invalid code into the keypad, the lights shut off and the doors opened, except for the door with the keypad. We also noticed, as the doors opened, each doorway had a little bit of light seeping from its open pathway. We stood there stunned for a good 5 minutes, not knowing what to do. We figured we tripped some alarm and that this was just a protocol, a standard drill in case of an attempted escape. What were we supposed to think? So we turned the other direction, away from the locked door. A sense of panic hit all three of us for some reason, and we got the urge to run. No one agreed to running. It was like we all knew we had to at the same time, some sort of instinct. It wasn't until about the 10th door we passed that we began to look in the doorways as we went by them. Standing at the doorways were people in costume. We were running past Donalds, Mickeys, Goofies, Plutos, and all different kinds of Disney characters. They were leaving their rooms and just casually walking towards us, almost like they knew we had nowhere to go. Now, I don't know if it was all in my head, just from sheer panic and fear, but I could swear on my mother's life I heard It's a Small World playing over an intercom. I have a fear of dolls, and the ride always gave me the creeps my whole life. Now I could see them, the little robotic dolls standing in the doorways as we passed, and still following were the costumed characters. I'm not sure how many doors we had passed at this point, or if there really were different characters at each door, but I knew that this hallway had to end at some point, and we were getting out of this place pronto. It only took us another 7 minutes to reach the door, give or take. It had no keypad, and it was open. We ran for the elevator and got in, pushed the up button, and stood there, looking at each other dumbfounded as to what had just happened. None of us spoke. We just waited till the elevator opened, back into Toontown, and started to make our way toward the front gate. We kept a low profile, using the same duck and hide technique that had gotten us this far from the get-go. Finally, Tim lost it and took off in a sprint. I couldn't imagine what set him off, until I looked and saw that everyone in the park just stood there, staring at us with blank faces. We heard a voice over the intercom, explaining that three fugitives had escaped from captivity and needed to be escorted back into the jails below. We booked it, catching up to Tim. Costume characters appeared from the shadows, workers and guards chasing after us. Everyone was sprinting for us. I couldn't see well, but it looked like drool was dripping from their jowls. They wanted us back down there. We had escaped, and they were pissed. The gate was just up ahead. The creepiest thing about it all was that, besides the voice over the intercom, the park was dead silent. From the characters, the workers, and the guards, no one bothered to shout after us. No one yelled. No one said stop. Nothing. Just footsteps and the occasional cough from Guy. As we made it past the park's front gate, we didn't stop until we got to the parking lot. Our car was gone, and we were left scratching our heads. We continued running down the road, which went on for miles, stopping occasionally for us to catch our breath. We made it to a little corner store, where Tim used his cell phone to get us an Uber. In the end the next day, we got a call from the hotel's front desk, so we headed downstairs. There were officers waiting for us. They said our car had been impounded and we needed to pay the fine. They didn't ask us any other questions, and we didn't bother telling the police anything that had happened. Even now, people who don't have a reason to disbelieve me don't believe me. So how could an officer of the law be expected to? We didn't bother. We simply paid the fine and drove home. We didn't talk about what happened the whole drive back. Whether it was all real at all, I couldn't tell you. Maybe it was just our imaginations running wild. We were pretty tired when we made our escape. I'll still never forget it, though. And I obviously haven't been back since.